Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman member by Ram Goldar and Dirim Mezekhra Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Hei, the 10th Perek, Elohen Anechonakin. The Zichu Mezekhra Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Sheshus was asked, Ben, Maushi Yaseh Shaliach La'aviva HaKoso U'Kalulu. Can a son be made an agent of Beis Din to strike or curse his father? Meaning, if his father is liable to Malkus or excommunication, respectively. He replied by asking why it's permitted for anyone to do so, since all are forbidden to strike or curse another Jew. Rather, Kavod Shemaim Adif, the honor of Shemaim is more important, and allows striking or cursing a transgressor, so the same can apply to a son. Rav Sheshus is challenged from two brises, but they are deflected. The Gemara concludes, however, that Rambam bar Rav Huna and a brise of Rabbi Shmuel ruled, "Kol ena ben nasah shliach aviv hakosu l'kalo." For all sins, a son is not made a shliach based in to strike or curse his father, chutz mameisis, except for one who instigates others to serve avodah zarah. His son may carry out his sentence because the Torah says about him, "Vasachmo v'sechas alav," you shall not have compassion nor conceal him. Point number two, the next Mishnah states that one is not chayv for striking his parent, ad sheyaseh behen chabura, unless he wounds them. Therefore, a chumra emerges for cursing a parent versus striking him. Shemakalo achar misa chayv, that one who curses his parent after his parent's death is chayv, v'makal achar misa pata, but one who strikes a parent after his death is exempt because he doesn't wound him. A brisa derives from the superfluous phrase, avi ve'imo kilel, his father or his mother he has cursed, to apply to the prohibition even after death. Rabbi Yoshia darshans from this phrase that cursing one parent without the other is libel and derives this just mentioned law from elsewhere. The Gemara asks why the Mishnah did not mention a chumrah of striking compared to cursing. Shamaka asabo shaloba amcha kaba amcha. For regarding striking, the Torah equated a parent who's not included in your nation with one who is included in your nation as opposed to cursing. The cursing prohibition says a prince ba amcha, in your nation you shall not curse, which excludes a sinful Jew from the prohibition. It answers that our Mishnah holds makshin hakal l'kwala. We compare striking to cursing, so a sinful parent is also excluded from the striking prohibition. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, gonav nefesh misrael, one who kidnaps a Jew, eno chayv ad sheyachnisenu reshuso, is not chayv to chenek until he takes him into his possession. Yehuda says he must take him into his possession, vishtamish bo, and make use of him. As the pasuk says, vishamer bo umachro, and he made use of him and sold him. Tanaim debate if one is chai for kidnapping his own son, and others debate if one is chai for kidnapping Misha Chetzu Evid Chetzi Ben Chorin, one who's half slave and half free man. The Gemara asks if the Tanakhama does not require that the kidnapper make use of him, since the Pasuk clearly mentions it, and Rabbi Yochanan Breid Rava says they argue if work done by the victim worth less than a pruta's value is sufficient use of the victim. A brisa teaches that if one kidnapped someone and did not sell him or sold him, but the victim remained in his own reshus, he is not chayiv. If he sold him to the victim's father, brother, or other relative, he is chayiv. One is not chayiv for kidnapping a slave. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Rav Sheshus was asked, Ben, mahu sheyaseh shaliach la'aviv l'hakosu l'kalulu. Can a son be made a shaliach Beis Din to strike or curse his father, meaning if his father was chayv for malkus or excommunication, respectively? He replied by asking why it's permitted for anyone to do so, since all are forbidden to strike or curse another Jew. Rather, kavod shemaim adif, the honor of shemaim is more important and allows striking or cursing a transgressor, so the same can apply to a son. Rav Sheshus is challenged from two brises, but they are deflected. The Gemara concludes, however, that Rambam bar Rav Huna and a brise of Rabbi Shmuel ruled, "Kol ena ben nasah shliach la'aviv hakosu l'kalo." For all sins, a son is not made a shliach based in to strike or curse his father, chutz mameisis, except for one who instigates others to serve avodah zarah. His son may carry out his sentence because the Torah says about him, "Vasachmo v'sechas alav," you shall not have compassion nor conceal him. Point number two, the next Mishnah states that one is not chayv for striking his parent, ad sheyaseh behen chabura, unless he wounds them. Therefore, a chumra emerges for cursing a parent versus striking him. Shemakalo achar misa chayv, that one who curses his parent after his parent's death is chayv, v'makal achar misa pata, but one who strikes a parent after his death is exempt because he doesn't wound him. A brisa derives from the superfluous phrase, Aviv Imo Kiel, his father or his mother, he is cursed, to apply to the prohibition even after death. Rabbi Yoshia darshans from this phrase that cursing one parent without the other is libel and derives this just mentioned law from elsewhere. The Gemara asks why the Mishnah did not mention a chumrah of striking compared to cursing. Shamaka asabo shelo ba'amcha kebe'amcha. For regarding striking, the Torah equated a parent who's not included in your nation with one who is included in your nation as opposed to cursing. The cursing prohibition says a prince ba'amcha, in your nation you shall not curse, which excludes a sinful Jew from the prohibition. It answers that our Mishnah holds makshin hakal l'kwala. We compare striking to cursing, so a sinful parent is also excluded from the striking prohibition. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, gonav nefesh Yisrael, one who kidnaps a Jew, eno chayv ad sheyachnisenu reshuso, is not chayv to chenek until he takes him into his possession. Yehuda says he must take him into his possession, vishtamish bo, and make use of him. As the pasuk says, vishamer bo umachro, and he made use of him and sold him. Tanaim debate if one is chai for kidnapping his own son, and others debate if one is chai for kidnapping Misha Chetzu Evid Chetzi Ben Chorin, one who's half slave and half free man. The Gemara asks if the Tanakhama does not require that the kidnapper make use of him, since the Pasuk clearly mentions it, and Rabbi Yochanan Breid Rava says they argue if work done by the victim worth less than a pruta's value is sufficient use of the victim. A Braisa teaches that if one kidnapped someone and did not sell him or sold him, but the victim remained in his own reshus, he is not chayiv. If he sold him to the victim's father, brother, or other relative, he is chayiv. One is not chayiv for kidnapping a slave. All right, so now we get our siman da pe hey, and our standard siman relates to a peh, a mouth, and we use a dentist for the siman, a dentist. So here goes. When the dentist argued that his son should not be allowed to hit him as a shliach beis din, the son replied that he was permitted to strike him, given that his father is an evil sinner, for kidnapping a boy and putting him to work as a dental assistant. Once again, a slow motion. When the dentist, that must be run off. Pei, hey, peh, mouth, dentist. When the dentist argued that his son should not be allowed to hit him as a shliach beis din, which reminds us, Rav Sheshes was asked, can a son be made a shliach beis din to strike or curse his father, meaning if his father was liable to malchus or excommunication respectively? Rabbi Bar Rav Huna and a bris Rav Shmuel ruled, l'cho eina ben nasi shliach la'aviv la'kosu l'kalu. For all sins, a son is not made a shliach beis din to strike or curse his father, chus memesis, except for one who instigates others to serve avodah zorah. His son may carry out his sentence because the Torah says about him, osachmo v'sichasel lav, you shall not have compassion nor conceal him. So, when the dentist argued that his son should not be allowed to hit him as a shliach beis din, the son replied that he was permitted to strike him given that his father is an evil sinner, which reminds the Gemara discusses cursing a parent after his death, and we learn that a sinful parent is also excluded from the striking prohibition. So when the dentist argued that his son should not be allowed to hit him as a shliach beis din, the son replied that he was permitted to strike him given that his father is an evil sinner for kidnapping a boy and putting him to work as a dental assistant. Which reminds the next Mishnah states, gonav nefesh Yisrael, one who kidnaps a Jew, is not chayv to chenek until he takes him into his possession. Rav Yehuda says he must take him into his possession, mishtamish bo, and make use of him, as the pasuk says, vishamer bo umachro, and he made use of him and sold him. So once again, when the dentist argued that his son should not be allowed to hit him as a shliach beis din, the son replied that he was permitted to strike him given that his father is an evil sinner for kidnapping a boy and putting him to work as a dental assistant. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazar. Daf pay off. So the simmer daf pay off is a grandpa. So here goes. The grandpa, that must be one daf pay off. The grandpa who had no nachus from his grandson, who became chayv in a more strict misa after being already chayv misa and got the more severe punishment, which reminds us, someone convicted for two types of misa receives the more severe one. So, the grandpa who had no nachus from his grandson, who became chayv in a more strict misa after being already chayv misa and got the more severe punishment, and had no nachus from another grandson who was led to the keep after violating alav sheyesh bo koris three times. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Misha lak v'shana, one who receives malchus twice and transgress a third time, basin machnisin osan lakipa, basin places him in a chamber and feeds him barley until his stomach bursts. This refers to repeated koris violations, and so he's already condemned to die young. And since he forgoes his life by his repeated kara's violations, we hasten his death through the kippah procedure. So the grandpa, who had no nachus from his grandson, became chayv in a more strict misa after being already chayv and got the more severe punishment, and had no nachus from a grandson who was led to the kippah after violating alav sheyesh bo koris three times, finally had a little nachus when a grandson stood up for what was right and killed a thief, taking a vessel from the Mikdash, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hagonav has a kasva, one who steals a kasva, which the Gemara explains it as a klishares, a service vessel at the base of Mikdash, the Hamakal Bekosim, or blasphemes using an idol's name, the Habola or Ramis, or has relations with an Aramean woman, meaning any idolater's daughter, Kanaim Pogimbo, zealot seeking to avenge Hashem's honor, may strike and kill him. Daf Pei Beis. So the Simmer Daf Pei Beis is peanut butter. So here goes. The Kanai, on his way to fulfill Kanai and Pogimbo to a man doing an Avera in a peanut butter factory. Peanut butter factory? That must be on Daf Pei Beis. Peanut butter. The Kanai, on his way to fulfill Kanai and Pogimbo to a man doing an Avera in a peanut butter factory, who realized he was putting his own life in danger, which reminds us, Pinchas would have been killed for killing Zimri after the act, and Zimri could have killed Pinchas as a Rodev. So the Kanai, on his way to fulfill Kanai and Pogimbo to a man doing an Avera in a peanut butter factory, who realized he was putting his own life in danger and acted on his own because he saw the great Chilul Hashem, and this was no time for Kavod HaRav, which reminds us, as the incident with Zimri and Cosby unfolded, the Pasuk says that Pinchas saw, and the Gemara asks what it was. Rav says, he saw the incident, and remember the halach, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, did you not teach about the one who has relations with the Kusis, Kanai and Pogimbo? Moshe replied, the reader of the letter should be the agent to follow its instructions. Shmuel says Pinchas saw the Pasuk, Ein Chachma, Ein Tvun, Ein Eitzel, Neged Hashem. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against Hashem's honor, teaching, Kol Mak Mishayesh Chilul Hashem, Ein Chokin Kavod HaRav. Wherever there is desecration of Hashem's name, we are not concerned with giving honor to a teacher. So he acted without consulting Moshe, his teacher. Belazar says he saw a Moloch destroying the nation and acted immediately. So the Kanai, on his way to fulfill Kanai and Pogimbo to a man doing an Avera in a peanut butter factory, who realized he was putting his own life in danger and acted on his own because he saw the great Chilul Hashem and that this was no time for Kavod HaRav, hid his spear tip in a peanut butter jar and convinced the Rishayim that he was one of them, which reminds us, Gemara relates that Pinchas hid the spear tip in his garment and approached the Shevet of Shimon using the spear as a walking stick and implied that he sought to join the sinning, allowing him access to Zimri's tent. The Gemara relates six miracles performed for Pinchas on that day, enabling him to kill Zimri and to publicly demonstrate what Zimri was doing. Daf Pei Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Pei Gimel is a pogo stick. So here goes. When the pogo stick and cone pogo stick, that must be on Daf Pei Gimel. When the pogo sticking cone bounced into a sheretz right before taking a bite of a struma sandwich and would have been liable to misa bidei shamayim, which reminds us, the Braisa states, ve'elu sheba misa, and these are the ones liable to death at the hands of heaven, meaning misa bidei shamayim. Among the list is one who eats tevel and a kohen tame who eats truma, which is tahor. So when the pogo sticking cone bounced into a sheretz right before taking a bite of his truma sandwich and would have been liable to misa bidei shamayim, he got a pass because the sheretz touched the truma first, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the source that if a kohen tame eats truma, he's pater if the truma was already tame. So when the pogo sticking cone bounced into a sheretz right before taking a bite of his truma sandwich and would have been liable to misa bidei shamayim, he got a pass because the sheretz touched the truma first. While another pogo sticking cone got misa bidei shamayim for performing avoda without bigdei kohuna, and therefore was considered like zar sheshimesh, which reminds us, the Gemara provides the source that mechuser begadim, a kohen lacking the garments required for kohanim, is liable to misa bidei shamayim for performing avoda. The pasuk says, v'chagartim osam avneit, and you shall girdle them with a belt, and the kohuna shall be for them, implying, v'zman shebigdem alehem kohunasam alehem, when their garments are upon them, their kohuna is upon them. Ein bigdem alehem, ein kohunasam alehem. If their garments are not all upon them, their kohuna is not fully upon them. Thus, they're considered like zarim regarding avoda. Daf Pei Dalet. So the Simmer Daf Pei Dalet is a launch pad. So here goes. While the rabbis argued over which Misa Azar who did avoda in the Mikdash was Chayev, he slipped away and boarded a rocket ship on a launch pad. Launch pad? That must be on Daf Pei Dalet. Launch pad. While the rabbis argued over which Misa Azar who did avoda in the Mikdash was Chayev, he slipped away and boarded a rocket ship on a launch pad, which reminds us, the Gemara brings three opinions for the source of the punishment of Azar who serves in the Mikdash. So, while the rabbis argued over which Misa Azar who did avoda in the Mikdash was Chayev, he slipped away and boarded a rocket ship on a launch pad and was almost joined by someone who wounded his father, which reminds us. The 10th parak begins, El Hena Nechanakim. These are the ones who are strangled, one who strikes his parent, one who kidnaps a Jew, Azak and Mamre, a sage who rebels against the Sanhedrin, a Navi Sheker, one who prophesies in an idol's name, an adulterer, Edim Zomim of a married Bas Kohen who testified she should receive Sreifa, and a man who had relations with a married Bas Kohen. The Gemara explains how we know that Maka Aviv means to wound a father and not to kill him. So while the rabbis argued over which Misa Azar who did avoda in the Mikdash was Chayev, he slipped away and boarded a rocket ship on a launch pad and was almost joined by someone who wounded his father, but was told he was putra since it was due to bloodletting, which reminds us, a son letting the blood of his father for health purposes is putter from punishment. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which Stephanie when the Pinchas hit a spear to gain entry into Zimri's tent, and there were 6 miracles enabling him to kill Zikri and publicly demonstrate what had happened? That's on Dav. Pei Beis. Good. Number two, which stuff do we discuss whether a son can be a shliach basin to strike or curse his father for malchus or excommunication, respectively? That's on Dav. Pehe. Good. Number three, which something when we put someone in the kippah who has violated a lav sheish bokaris 3 times? That's on Dav. Payoff. Good. Number four, which something when a son is putter if he wounded his father through bloodletting? That's on Dav. Pay dog. Number five, which stuff do we discuss when the offspring of a condemned cow becomes prohibited? That's on Duff. Pay. Good. Number six, which of the one, according to one opinion, Pinchas saw the pasuk of Ein Chochme Ein Tfune Ve'Ein Eitzel Neged Hashem, which caused him to act? That's on Duff. Pay base. Good. Number seven, which of the one that is permitted to strike a sinful parent? That's on Duff. Hey, hey. Good. Number eight, which of the one, there are 3 opinions as to the punishment for a czar who serves in the Mikdash? That's on Dav. Pay dog. Good. Number nine, which of the you discuss when one is chai for kidnapping a Jew? That's on Dav. Pay hey. Good. And number 10, which of the one, that one who intended to kill an animal or an idolater, but instead killed a Jew standing nearby, is putter? That's on Dav. Ein test. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.